Happy to have you with us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mehler here. We're going to take a look at researching your family tree today with my guest, back once again, Lori Bessler. Lori is a reference librarian at the Wisconsin Historical Society. It's always great to have her come by. They have a number of workshops coming up to help you find out about your family, so we'll talk about those. And, of course, answer your questions. What have you done to explore your family tree? Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you've been doing it a while. What kinds of problems have you had? Or have you got some great experience to share? We always love to hear those as well. So call in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mehler Show. We'd love to hear from you. And Lori Bessler, welcome back.
Thank you.
Great to have you back with us. You know, I think more people are looking into their family history these days, and even some television shows now about it. Why do you think it's so popular?
Well, I think when you're looking at where you came from, it really explains about where you are now. I think that's part of it. There's just plain curiosity. You have a story in the family, and you're really wondering, is that story right? Some people do it for medical purposes to find out what are the medical patterns happening in the family, and it helps them with their own medical issues that they've come up. Some people just love the idea of putting together the puzzle. You know, so many people, I want to see how everybody's related and to know the stories behind why they ended up here or there. You know, it's just fun.
Yeah, just a lot of fun. I would think a lot of people contact the Wisconsin Historical Society when they begin that process, do they not? And what can you do for them?
Yes, they do contact us, and I'm glad that they do, because we can help them with understanding what is the paper trail, what will they find, and where will they find it. So it might be in part of our collections, which is one of the top collections of genealogical materials in the country. Our scope is North American, so we have things from all across the United States and into Canada as well. And so we usually have something for everybody. But it's also that the staff can then help with our expertise in the topic of genealogy and family history to help them understand what they need to find to really, you know, draw out that story.
It's pretty cool. And how do they contact you, by the way? We have a link, I'm sure, on our Facebook page. KP says, oh, of course we do. what's the best way?
So if they go to the website, wisconsinhistory.org, they can also email us at asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org. And they can telephone our reference desk, 608-264-6535. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could talk for a little bit about the workshops that you have coming up, and there's one coming up pretty quickly here.
There is, and we already have 40 people registered for that workshop. Mm-hmm. It's on DNA and genealogy. Mary Eberle from DNA Hunters is going to be the speaker, and she has done a couple of workshops for us. So she is so knowledgeable. She has such great experience with genetics that she brings to the table a lot of basic explanation of the science of it, but then also takes it to the level of what do I do when I get those results? How do I use them to find more people I might be related to? And so she's very up to date on the different websites, the different companies that you can do the testing for, the different types of tests. So it's not just, you know, pick a test and run with it. You need to really understand. And this workshop really gets you at a good place to do that.
I think the ads that you see now on television have really kind of fueled this a little bit, because there are some very effective ads from the folks who do this genetic testing, I think, anyway.
Oh, I think Ancestry, of course, has been putting their ads out for a very long time. I just recently saw ads for 23andMe. And then Family Tree DNA is another one that's out there as well. National Geographic does testing as well.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, so that's the stuff that this workshop will explain to people, and to be able to say, you know, what do you want to find out from your DNA, to these are the different tests that you could ask for. These are the companies that do these tests. This company over here won't do that other kind of test, so you're going to have to do this with this other company. It's more than just, you know, a quick little thing. Research is not a quick little thing either. So, you know, people, it makes it almost sound too easy in some of those ads.
So what's the cost of that event?
The workshops are $30 for the whole day, and you can have a 10% off if you're a member of Wisconsin Historical Society or any genealogical society.
Okay.
And then we feed you lunch. It's an all day. You are in a room full of people who love the same topic.
And the date for that again?
For the September, it's September 17th. That's about DNA. In October, on I believe it's the 22nd, that is about African-American genealogy. And we have Tony Burroughs, who is an internationally known speaker, coming up from Chicago to give us a full day on African-American. And then in November, we have Kathy Mead. She represents a Swedish genealogical website, and she will be talking about Swedish-American. In December, we're going to be talking about family history projects, which is just really fun. Everybody has tried something, and they go from anywhere from a cookbook of family recipes to that, you know, 2-inch thick book of all of the data and anything in between. So we have personal historian Sarah White talking to us that day about how do you do these projects.
And I don't imagine you need much in the way of background in order to attend these.
No, you don't. Actually, they're really very much for the beginner. If you're just trying to figure out, should I do this or not? If you're a little bit into genealogy and you're more into history, especially with Tony Burroughs coming in, he's going to explain a lot of history aspects of genealogical research as well. And so I think it would be of interest to most people, I think.
Yeah. Tony, I've interviewed him before, and
yes,
he's a really good speaker. So
he is an awesome speaker with wonderful stories. I'm always thrilled when we get we book the next series of lectures. We do this every fall and every spring. And I'm always, you know, really happy that I get to attend these. I check everybody in, and then I am just watching the whole thing. So
Lori Bessler, our guest today, taking a look at climbing your family tree, let's call it that, with her. She is with the Wisconsin Historical Society. And if you have a question or comment or maybe an experience to share, we always love those too. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us. The email address is talk@WPR.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Love to hear from you. Let's talk about just getting started. What's the important thing?
I think we all start with the stories that we've heard, okay? And we start by talking to our relatives, our mom or dad or grandma or grandpa. Aunts and uncles have wonderful stories, too. Mm-hmm. Cousins, if you know, the earlier generation is almost gone, your first cousins will have stories as well. And so you start with getting some of the general data put together. There are charts you can put out, put the information in, so that you have names, dates, and places. Those are the three things that a lot of reference librarians will need to know in order to help you get to the next step. After you've gathered some names, dates, and places and put them on charts, which actually, if you just go to Ancestry.com, you don't have to be a member, but just log into there. They do have charts you can print out. Then you go and you talk to a reference librarian. It could be someone at your public library. It could be us at the Wisconsin Historical Society. I often do phone consultations with people. It could be up to an hour that I'm talking and coming up with a research plan with them. And three types of records that a lot of people should really start with. Finding the obituaries of each person in the family is really core, because, you know, you think about how much obituaries have in them. And then censuses have been done in the country since 1790. Every 10 years, the government is saying who's living in these households. Different information is gathered at different times, so it's you need to understand what to expect out of those. But as of 1850 to the present, they're actually asking every person's name. And so that's really a little snapshot of the household. So if you don't know the brothers and sisters' names, that's where you're going to find this out.
So obit and census, what's the third one?
Vital records. Birth, marriage, and death records. Now, I've started this, my research, back about 40 years ago, okay, when I was about 10 years old. in 1976.
Okay.
So I'm turning 50 soon. 40 years of research. And when I started, Vital Records, you took the time and you took the energy to get that copy of the record from the County Register of Deeds office or the State Vital Record office. Because it held the names of parents. It could say where the person was buried, what they died of. Now, so many people are expecting things out of the websites, like Ancestry. They're not going to have a lot of these civil records. There's some that are really flashy and, you know, hey, this one section of the vital records are out there now. There's still, most of them are held at County Register of Deeds and State Vital Record Office. Those are the three types of records you really need because it has so many hints in it to then help you find the next level.
On that third one, do you just go to the county register and say, hey, I need the information on something from 1940 or whatever?
Yeah, you do. I usually tell people with any institution you want to call ahead of time, look at their website now. Often they'll have all their policies on their website, so you know what to expect. So if they require any kind of ID to be able to sign it, you'll know that.
Sure.
You'll understand what the fees are because the fees will cost something. In many places, you can actually just do a transcription. If you don't want to pay the $20 for a copy of that record, you can be looking at the record and make notes from it, okay? Because it can be pretty expensive at that point.
Oh, I would think. Well, lots of callers online with questions, so maybe we should go to the phones here. Barb and Wazika up first. Barb, hi. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I had my DNA done. I had a friend gift that to me for Christmas one year, which was wonderful. And so I had it done. I wasn't too surprised with the results being, you know, Western Europe and Scandinavia, England, France, Scotland. But there was one, it was the lowest number, but one little blurb was Melanesia. And I didn't even know where Melanesia was. So I looked it up, and it's the it's off the northeast coast of Australia. So I have no idea why that would be in my DNA. Would that be just a fluke or a mistake? Or I've searched one part of the family. I'm back to the 1500s, I think, and I haven't seen anything about missionaries going over there. But I was just wondering, how do you find out when something is so different?
Do you have any English? Are you in your system?
Well, we're wondering about possibly, you know, prisoners being sent to Australia.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I would think that as well. You know, I don't believe there are flukes with DNA. That's one thing I've heard from many, many scientists is there are no flukes.
Okay,
there are flukes in the research that we do with the paper trail. There's definitely a wide range of flukes that could come up. But yes, looking at the history of what time period your family could have been involved in, like you said, the prisoners or different kinds of migrations. I had the same thing. I've been doing that research for a long time, and a lot of mine go to Ireland and England and that kind of thing. And I had less than 1% Italy, Greece, which I didn't see coming at all. And I have no idea how that connected. But I also have some brick walls in the family, you know, in the tree. I do have brick walls. So those brick walls are hiding those secrets. And one of the things with DNA is, of course, when you go through these different companies, there are many, many people doing these tests. And those results, especially with Ancestry or Family Tree DNA, they're connecting you to the other people who have something in common with your DNA. And so that's where the connecting to those cousins happens. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I may have had a prisoner that jumped ship and
exactly.
over to Melanesia. I don't know.
There's a story to find.
Wouldn't that be
sure.
Barb, if you ever find that story and Lori's on again, I hope you'll call and let us know because now I'm curious.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I am curious. Marie in Milwaukee. I maybe I'm nosy. I don't know. Marie, thanks a lot
Hi.
For calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I have hit a brick wall with my researching my mother's family. We found out that her grandfather is actually, and her father are from Mexico. I found that on the census. She had grown up thinking that they were actually from Spain. But the problem I'm running into is I cannot find any information. On the last census that I had seen from the 40s, they were in San Antonio, Texas. I actually made made a trip down there and tried to work with the resource librarian, and they said that there just wasn't a lot of record keeping back then on Latinos. Do you have any suggestion as to where I might be able to try and find some additional information on my great-grandfather and beyond?
Yes. You know what is that? Next spring, we're hoping to have Margaret Scar from Milwaukee come and give a whole day on Hispanic American genealogy.
Oh, great.
And so she is based out of Milwaukee. So,
really?
Yes, and that's where it looks like you might be based out of. So if you can email me, I'll get you in touch with Margaret. And she's just wonderful, knows so much about the different angles you need to take and where the records are being kept.
Okay, and can I get your email off the website?
Yes, it's also just Ask Library.
Oh, great.
At wisconsinhistory.org.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling, Marie. Appreciate your call. Susie and Toma, it is your turn. Hi, Susie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I probably have a very common situation here, but I just don't know how to handle it. 102 years ago, my father was born out of wedlock, and I do have his birth certificate, so I know who his real father is. I mean, I just found this out not too many years ago. And I do know that through family stories now, after asking specific questions, that the man was paid off to leave my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And during the time that she was pregnant, this man went into World War I. So it's kind of a tragic, kind of a hard story. But I have, through Ancestor.com, tracked his family. So I know where they are. I know who my aunts and uncles are. I know who my cousins are. How do I approach them and say something? Because mm-hmm. I would really like to. And we do have some medical issues, but I don't want to play that card.
No.
I don't want to say, gee, I need your medical history because of this and this is happening. What
yeah.
do I do?
It is sensitive, that's for sure, and you want to do it cautiously. I guess my first inclination would be to write a letter and not make it a phone call, per se. It would be write to more than one of the people that you've identified.
Okay.
And just, you know, in some kind of language, explain that you're not asking for anything. You're just trying to make a connection to kind of mend that difficult situation that was there in the past. And so you might be very surprised at how open people are now to that kind of thing than they were back in the day.
Okay, I can probably do that. Okay, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Appreciate the call. Lori Bessler, our guest today, reference librarian with the Wisconsin Historical Society. I'm Larry Mueller. KP Whaley, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Net. Talking about your family tree and climbing that tree with Lori Bessler, reference librarian with the Wisconsin Historical Society. And we have one open line at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's turn to Chris next in Wanakee. Chris, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry and Lori. I have a question. I was approached through Facebook Messenger by apparently a relative who connects at my great-grandmother's level in Switzerland. And so, I mean, everything sounds pretty legitimate. I was just kind of wanting to make sure that this isn't a source of a lot of scams and bogus things, mm-hmm. but he sent along a number of charts and things, and, you know, I imagine it wouldn't be too hard to put those things together, but is that something that you've, and I have a follow-up question.
Sure.
After you.
Yeah.
Well, so what exactly are they asking for?
Well, he's asking me to help fill in a couple of the family tree things, you know, middle names of my siblings.
Okay.
Nothing. He's not asking for my social security number.
Right. But I would hesitate providing current information on people who are living.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do. Since you said it's connected through your great-grandparent,
mm-hmm.
Stay with the people who have already passed and make that a regular policy of yours.
Okay.
The only exception I've ever made is when I have first cousins that I know I've met, I've spent many times in a playground playing with, I know them, that I'll provide my siblings' names and such. Even Ancestry and Family Search will put the word private there for anybody who is possibly still living in the trees. And so, yeah, I would say with that kind of policy, having to do that, there are a lot of scams out there, and we all have to be very cautious of them. But if we're talking about people who have passed, and certainly keeping it back at many generations, that's a good, strong way to keep away from those scams.
Okay. Well, I did... I did also look him up online, and I found out that, at least according to what I was able to find, he's worked with the Greenfield, Minnesota Historical Society, where he's helped them set up a website, and he has a cousin there or something. And so he visits them every year, so it's possible I'll even have a chance to see him.
Awesome. Yeah, well, you could also call them, call that institution and say, hey, who is this guy?
And he and the last thing was he said that he's looking up information in the state, and he says that some states are more open than others. Minnesota, he says, is extremely open, whereas Wisconsin is more strict. And I'm thinking that would be, would he be able to access records from the State Historical Society?
Yes, he would be able to. I'm wondering what records is he trying to get a hold of?
Well,
because
maybe birth and death records from the state that he can't get at Wisconsin.
For the current birth, marriage, and death records, there's probably restrictions. But for records that are over 50 years old, which are the people who have passed away in most cases, those records should be pretty accessible. So I would question what kind of answers he's getting from the county records or the state vital record office. For anything that happens since the last 50 years, that's where there's probably rules that say you have to be a direct descendant. You have to send us a photocopy of your driver's license or go through a couple of hoops. And really, we want them to do that, you know, to protect ourselves.
No, I understand. I can see from the answer to the first question where this is coming from. So, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Appreciate the call. Arlene in New Berlin, your turn. Hi, Arlene.
Thank you, Larry, for taking my call, and thanks to Lori. Lori, my mother came from Austria back in, I think, probably 1920. She was born in 1910? Yes. And her sister's sponsored her to come to this country. And if I spell her name, if she has her name spelled Spraitz, which says Sprites.
Okay.
But my brother told me that that is not the way it was written on her passport, because I guess the gentleman at the where she came through couldn't pronounce her name in Slovenian, and so they wrote it the way they thought it sound. She belonged to Sloga, which is a Slovenian organization here in Milwaukee. But I would like to find out things, and who do I go to? Now, I know there's a Slovenian Union of America in Chicago, and I've got their website pulled up. Do you email them, call them, or what, and find out about them?
I always encourage people to call and talk to someone versus just emailing. If they provide a phone number, they are open to the idea of getting phone calls. We certainly provide our phone numbers on our website, and I'm glad we do. Often because there's going to be questions that that person's going to have back to you about what you know. With your mom's situation then, do you have a copy of her passport?
My brother has it. He lives out in San Francisco. He's got all her paperwork because the last 4 years of her life she spent with him.
Can he digitize that?
Pardon me?
Can he digitize those documents?
Take a photo of them and just send them to you on email or something?
I don't know, but that's something I'm going to ask him, because I'm 3 years older than he is. Who knows when both of us, which one will go first? And I would, if he does, I want those papers so that I can,
Sure. Well, he should be able to, hopefully, be able to just send them electronically, either with a photo, which he can take with his phone, and then just pass them along to you through email or online somehow.
Definitely. Are you in touch with, does he have children?
No, he's not married, but I have children. I have four children, and I would just like to keep that in the family.
Yes.
I know one family member was doing a genealogy thing, but I haven't heard from them, and it's like trying to pull teeth.
Yeah.
I have some family like that, too. Yes, it would be important to get a copy of those documents if possible. It's also that with Ellis Island, they actually have a website, ellisisland.org.
Oh, Ellis Island. Okay, all right, .org, okay.
So you can check that out. And then if you do have further questions as you get going with some of these things, feel free to contact me. We can set up an appointment to have a phone consultation if you can't make it into the Madison. Otherwise, if you were going to be in Madison, I can meet you with her in person.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And, of course, we have a link to the Wisconsin Historical Society on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We have Keith and Loyola, or Leona, I'm sorry, up next. Hi, Keith.
Good morning, and thank you for this wonderful program. I am. I live in the state of Washington during the winter, and near where I live, there's a very large genealogy facility run by the Mormon Church. Do you have any comments on what work the Mormons do and how that might be accessible?
Certainly, certainly. So the Mormons' website is FamilySearch.org. On our website, I have a full one-hour webinar that you can pull up. There's a little handout there as well that explains the whole depth of that website, because it's not just, you know, pop in a name and it'll show you something. You have to really understand what you're looking at. There's really two tiers to this that most people really need to understand. One is that a lot of people are putting their family trees on FamilySearch.org. Now, the Mormon Church has been gathering this information for years and years and years, and so their collection of trees that they've accepted from people is just so
enormous.
Many. Yes, it's just crazy amount. But there are a lot of them that have errors to them. Just like on Ancestry.com, people can pop something up, it makes it look like it's true, and it's not. What you always want to look for with those online trees, whether it's on FamilySearch or Ancestry or any other site, look for documentation. See if they actually note, I got this piece of information from that record. This is where you find that record. That's a good sign that that information is correct. The other part of FamilySearch is that you can actually look at digital copies or borrow film from them that have original documents you would usually have to find in a county courthouse or at a church or at other institutions. The digital collection is phenomenal, and they actually have Wisconsin state censuses fully digitized on their site, FamilySearch.org. You just look under the search and then under records. But don't underestimate what you can actually get on microfilm. They've been filming materials since the 30s, when film first started being produced. And then they've gone to digital, of course, straight to digital now. I don't know how many years, 10, 15, 20 years. So just phenomenal access to original documentation. So they're doing wonderful work. And then they have thousands, millions of volunteers who go in there at their homes, away from the collections. They have them digitized. They can do all this indexing online.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Steve in La Crosse, on to you now. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Thanks for having the show.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to call. It was kind of an interesting little thing how you link things. I had done genealogy years ago, but I'm still working, so it's kind of an on-off thing. But we were watching the history show, The Vikings, on the History Channel, and I had traced one part of my mother's side back to William the Conqueror, and I had happened to just be studying the characters on my telephone that are in the movie, and it turns out Rollo was the great-great-grandfather of William the Conqueror.
Oh, wow.
which then they trace it back to before Christ to Turkey.
Wow.
And I am considering doing the DNA thing because, well, with that many generations, I think it's 60 generations, you don't know if anybody crossed the fence, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It would be interesting to see their documentation of it, of those connections, to see how did they go through document. I'm not thinking they didn't document it. I'm just saying I would love to see the documentation, because that would be fascinating to see if there's documents that are that old that explain those relationships.
Yeah.
I think that the original family was Peavy, and then it went to, like, Peverall and Pevel. Mm. So it kind of changed through the ages.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's written down to my great-great-grandmother.
Wow.
Oh, that is very cool.
That is very cool.
Thank you very much, Steve, for calling. Appreciate your call. And, oh, we had a note from Ron on Facebook. He says, not sure if you're, he strongly recommends the webinars. And the other Historical Society staff that you guys have created, they're very interesting and informative, just to kind of back up what our earlier conversation was.
Yeah, what you do is when you go to wisconsinhistory.org, you go under Research Your Family History, and there's a link to workshops and webinars. You'll see on the same page, workshops and webinars. The workshops are those events we talked about, the DNA, the African American, and so on. But there's also free webinars. There's about 6 or 7 webinars there, something on ancestry, something on family search, how to use our website and what to expect out of our website for the resources, and then something on how to use maps and atlases. Yeah, so we're constantly trying
there.
To add more, yes.
Jim in Mauston, it's your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Larry and Laurie. Thanks for the show.
Sure thing.
Say a story relating kind of to the one we heard a couple minutes ago. I have a 5-generation grandfather who fought for both the British and the Americans in the War of 1812.
Wow.
he was, I would imagine he was in some location over in Ireland, and they thumped him on the head, and he was put on a British ship, got over here to America, jumped ship, and then fought for the Americans, probably for a little revenge or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've had a family reunion going on for 110 years.
Wow.
And I have binders full of material and photos, which I can be fairly accurate on. But I'm just wondering, joining these online services and things like that, how accurate they are. I suppose DNA is the best way to do it, but how accurate are these online services?
Well, so when you refer to online services, are you meaning like Ancestry.com?
Right, right.
Okay, so with
Where other people include information about this person and that person, and when you come across it, you're not so sure.
Right. I'm not sure unless they actually document it, but one of the nice things about Ancestry is that you can actually contact the person who put up the tree and be able to say, hey, you have this date in there. Can you tell me where you got that date and that place for this birth? For this one person that's on your tree. And then most people have been very receptive to contacting them, saying, yeah, I have it from the birth record. It is possible maybe they can't scan it. Maybe it might not be legal to have it scanned and put on the internet, but they certainly have the date. They just haven't actually written on the tree on Ancestry, hey, I have this from a birth record.
Yeah.
So fully citing sources, very messy right now online. Hopefully getting better. I myself am going through and trying to make sure I've documented all the people I've collected in my Ancestry trees. So you take it
Yeah, I've got like 3,500 names on mine, and some of them just don't match up. So,
right. That's all the more reason. You know, a lot of times what I use that information for that's not documented are clues. So at least they've said, hey, this person is in this place. Then I know, okay, then I need to check that place, the institutions
right.
that are there, to see what they may have for any kind of documentation.
One other question. Okay, about our family reunion that's been going on 110 years, how do you keep it going? I mean, we're down to the last couple dozen that show up every year, but the younger generation, they could really care less, I think.
It is harder to get them involved. Technology is how I think the younger generation is going to connect to this. And so if you have projects where you can start sharing all of that data, all of the stories especially, that people have gathered over the years and have shared at these reunions, if you can find a way to create a blog, to create a website and get that information out to the younger generation, then you may have better luck getting them more involved. It's just one of those things where when I was 10 in 1976 doing this, I felt very odd. You know, most of my friends didn't care at all. And in fact, most of them still don't care necessarily at my age now. They're just starting to care about that. And so if, like I said, with our Family History Projects website or class that we're going to have in December, there's going to be ideas of how do you share that research. That's the key, is the research is getting out to all those different generations.
Very good.
All right.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Deborah in Winona, Minnesota. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about my grandfather. He was born in 1872, says in Wisconsin. And in the 1880 census, he's listed in the household with my great-grandparents.
Okay.
And in the 1890 census, there is a section where you can list the number of children. And both generations were still living in the same household. And my great-grandfather lists two children. My great-grandmother lists one child. And I have heard rumors from my mother and my cousins with no substantiation that my grandfather was adopted. So are there adoption records that go back that far?
Yeah,
I haven't found a birth certificate yet.
The transaction is probably, at that time, it's probably part of the civil court cases that are there. It's not necessarily a separate collection of adoption records. What county?
Well, it says he was born in Ithaca, Wisconsin.
Okay, so we'd want to figure out what county that is because the civil court cases are county-based.
Okay.
And they're also could be at the state archives, which is what Wisconsin Historical holds, or they could be at the courthouse. So it might be best for you and I to touch base separately on this.
Okay.
So if you can email asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org.
AskLibrary at Wisconsin. Okay.
Yep. And then just say, hey, I heard you on Larry Mueller, and hey, I'd like to set up a time to talk to you by phone.
Okay. That was AskLibrary@Wisconsin.
History?
History.org.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
All
right. Thanks for calling. And let's go to Willie in Madison next. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have an odd situation, and in looking through my family tree, one of the most interesting people is a man who is apparently, and some of this is a little hard to find out because I'm having a great deal of hard time finding good information, a great-great or great-great-great-grandfather of mine was a soldier in Napoleon's army who knocked up my great-great-great or whatever grandmother in a village as they were going through Germany. I'd like to find out something about this man, because what he did, he deserted then, lived out the rest of his life apparently in Germany, enough procreation that about a sixth or more of the people in this home village where he lived in have his surname.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's a village with only six surnames and a rather strange bunch of people in many, many ways. But and it's not a large village, maybe 600 people now. But people don't ever seem to want to talk about this man. And it sounds like, you know, I plenty of good people in my family background, but this is the one who makes me about 1/32nd French rather than purely and absolutely German. As a matter of fact, people with that surname in the village, although probably virtually everybody is a descendant of the French fellow now, people with that surname are referred to as sort of looked down upon and called de Françoise, the French ones.
Oh, dear. Well, you know what is that, as I mentioned earlier, we are North American in scope, so we have United States and Canada. But I might be able to get you in touch with someone who could help you understand what would be the paper trail in that region of Germany or France, and then be able to help you from there. So, again, I think it's email me so we can get an appointment to talk by phone.
All right.
People don't really want to talk about it. I mean, relatives of mine that I know well,
don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, you run into that a little bit, Lori, I bet.
I run into it now with my own family. You know, I have uncovered a document recently, and it has to do with my grandparents, and there are some people very strongly against sharing that information, and other people saying, but it explains them so well, you know, so it genealogy is not just a hobby. There's a lot of emotion that comes along with this research, too.
Well, let's go back to the event that you've got, the workshop that you've got coming up quite soon.
Yes, it's September 17th on DNA and genealogy. All of these, you would be able to go to our website to actually register online. If you have any difficulty with it, then you can just contact me and we can get you set up with registration offline. In October, it's African American genealogy. Norwegian, or rather Swedish, which is very different from Norwegian, in November. And then in December, Family History Projects.
So lots of good things coming up. And for us, what I think is a pretty small, minimal cost.
You know, I have not heard any complaints. You get $30 and you get a lunch and everything. So, and it's all day. So it's a great opportunity.
Lori, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today. We'll look forward to your next visit.
Thank you for having me.
Lori Bessler is the reference librarian with the Wisconsin Historical Society. And again, those workshops, September 17th on DNA and genealogy. That's going to be a dandy. October 22nd, another great one, African-American genealogy. And November 5th, Swedish-American genealogy. And finally, December 3rd, Family History Projects. So all those coming up. We're going to take a look at some more history, but this time the history of some buildings on the University of Wisconsin campus. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network.